Warning, the following podcast contains coarse language and spoilers for the film and the title of the podcast.
Now playing movie reviews in 20 Qs.
Hello, you goddamn fantastic people, and welcome to the podcast, Movie Reviews in 20 Qs, the show where we review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. This is episode 202, and, you know, every time you do episode 202, you've got to bring in somebody special, and it's Kahu. How you going, Kahu?
Hey, I'm very well.
You are very special.
Episode 202, yeah. I'm not quite like Sam's voice. I'm not everywhere all at once, but here I am.
Great title, great film. That is what we're doing this week, as you guys can see by the name of the podcast. We are doing Everything Everywhere All at Once. A brand new film that's literally just come out here in New Zealand, starring Michelle Yeoh, Ke Huy Quan. Jesus Christ, I can't say. Fuck, but I don't want to do it. Do you want to do these names?
Sure.
Stephanie. Okay.
Stephanie Sue.
Sue, right.
Ke Huy Quan and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, fucking go for the easy one, eh? Did you recognize her, by the way?
Yeah, I did.
It took a while, though, right?
No, not really.
Okay, what about Ke Huy Quan? Do you recognize him from anywhere?
Well, no. I knew I had seen him somewhere, but had to look it up afterwards to see who he was.
I'm just laughing at the other name. James Hong, he's been in quite a few things as well. The grandfather in this. And then Jenny Slate, Big Nose. That was her character's name.
Yeah, just I know. That was going to be one of my dick moves on the writers, calling her Big Nose.
Anywho. So yeah, it just came out, has a score of 8.9 out of 10 on IMDb, 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. Whoever's seen it the most recently has to give a plot, and since I run this podcast, it's never me. So Kahu, what is the plot? What is the plot of Everything Everywhere All at Once? Exactly!
What is the plot? So it's about a Chinese-American family who own a laundromat. Going about their daily lives, normal trials and tribulations until the mother, Evelyn, is awoken to the multiverse.
Let's leave it at that.
Yeah. It's like, I just don't know where to start and don't know where to end with the plot.
How
on this
do
one.
You?
Yeah.
Like, how do you possibly try and describe the plot of this film? Google has it as, when an interdimensional rupture unravels reality, an unlikely hero must channel her newfound powers to fight bizarre and bewildering dangers from the multiverse as the fate of the world hangs in the balance.
Yeah, but it's...
It's not that, though!
In its essence, it's the relationship between a mother and her daughter.
And the grandfather.
Yeah, and the
it's
grandfather.
It's multi-generational shame and...
Yeah, it's... Like, it's a... The multiverse is almost secondary to all that kind of emotional weight going on.
Exactly. Learning to love and accept, and whether everything means anything or whether it's all just a load of shit, you know?
Yeah.
There's so much in this. There's so much in this.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a real element of dealing with depression and mental illness in this film too. Like it's heartbreaking that the daughter is just, she's like... existentially sad across all of the multiverses. It's like, it's a bit depressing, really. Yeah.
Could you imagine how sad that would be? Like, if you lived all these thousands, millions, I don't know, fucking billions, whatever, of lives, and yet in none of them you're happy.
Yeah.
And so you're just like, this is all just irrelevant. Just dumped everything on a bagel.
Yeah.
The bagel just folded in on itself. That's what life is, really.
Yeah, and she lives all of that sadness in all these worlds at the same time. It's just like, wow. Yeah, it's something else.
It is something else. But let's talk about it a little bit more soon. If you haven't heard this podcast before, what we do is we review a movie by asking 20 questions about it. We start with 10 that can be applied to any film, unless there is only two of us, which there are, so we're going to do 13 questions that can be applied to any film. We're then going to move into three personal questions each after that before finishing on a Patreon question. The one we start with, compliment sandwich. One thing good, one thing bad, one thing good if we like this film. If we don't like this film, we give it one thing bad, one thing good, and one thing bad. Or if we really love this film, out comes a hyperbole sandwich, which is one thing good, one thing great, and one thing good. What's your sandwich this week, Kahu? Enlighten me.
Yes.
Feed me your sandwich, Kahu.
I'm going to start with a good thing, and I touched on it just before, and it was... How good is it to see Ke Huy Quan back?
Amazing. Amazing.
As I said, I had to figure out where I'd seen him before, and he's basically done no acting the last 20 years.
Yeah, at least.
It's insane. Like, and even the roles after his, like Indiana Jones and Goonies roles in the 80s were like pretty kind of minor for like films we would have seen.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, just absolutely nothing in 20 years. And then he's like, yeah, I'm going to get back into acting. I just reckon that's really cool. I've got a second good thing. And
wow.
I love the Easter eggs in this movie.
They're amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. When, what's his name? Waymond talks to Evelyn and he recites the lyrics of that naughty song, Story of a Girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then soon after that, they play it in the vehicle. It's apparently elsewhere in the movie as well, but that were the only two times I picked up on it. And apparently when the dude was writing it, the lines came to him to write that. And he was like, wow, that's amazing. And he didn't realize at the time that he was actually just reflecting the lyrics of that song that he used to listen to 20 years ago.
Holy shit.
Which I thought was really funny. And what else was there? There was like the foreshadowing of the butt plug awards. You knew that was going to be something at some point in the future. And also the Back to the Future-esque power plant on Gong Gong's wheelchair. That was cool.
Awesome.
And I'm going to do it. I'm going to go with a third one.
What?
Yep.
A hyperbole sandwich.
Yeah, maybe it's just my post-COVID good mood, but the rock scene is one that's gonna remain with me for a long time. Just
so good.
It's simplicity and it's absurdity. At first, it was hilarious, and then when Joy's rock rolls off the cliff, that's like, it's shattering. Like, it's absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah, it tugs at some heartstrings. This film, yeah,
yeah. I mean, and there's many individual scenes in this film that are like that, and it's just absolutely genius.
Yep.
Who would have thought? Two rocks, basically a static background with some subtitles.
Just black and white text.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, just contrasting text, you know.
Yeah.
The despair, the light, you know, trying to like play off each other. It was fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. Just really, really good. As a score, out of a number of universes, I'll just go sing I Have to Do 10,000. 10,000 universes.
10,000, wicked.
Yeah, loved it.
I've got to say, that's the best rock acting I've ever seen. And I'm including every film that The Rock's been in.
Yes.
Anyway, on to me. Yeah, my first good thing. Visually stunning. Mm. Oh, like from start to finish, like this, the legitimately feels like you've taken some acid or some sort of hallucinogen. Because it's like, from start to finish, it's like, what the fuck?
Mm.
You know? Great thing. Yeah, the story's just all over the place and I love it. Like, it's very hard not to tell one of these stories and lose the audience.
Mm.
You know, like, it's easy to make this so confusing that people are like, what the fuck is going on?
Mm.
You know, and like, I can see that being a negative is, like, there is a lot of parts. Like, it edits through so much that you're like, what the fuck did I just miss?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, well, what was that? What universe was that? Who was doing that? Why is that? You know? But it's awesome in that it does that, but it, like, there's enough there to, like, leave you wondering what the fuck is going on and, like, digest it afterwards. Like, that was fucking awesome.
Yeah, and they, like, they give us just enough of the, you know, the kind of the genesis of how the multiverses were discovered and all of this.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They sort of play it pretty loose, which I think works well.
It has a well-thought-out explanation.
Mm.
Like, that's what I've got to give this film as being great, is, like, it's covered its bases. A lot of these films, you walk away and you think there's, like, massive plot holes, contrivances that, you know, like, there's no explanation for them. Like, in this film, it is. Mm. Like, it's like they've gone out of their way to be, like, you know, it's almost like they gave it to CinemaSins or fucking Screen Junkies or somebody that, like, loves picking holes and stuff. Or us. And they didn't give it to us.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They've given it to someone who likes picking holes in this shit and going, holy fuck, you know? Like, it's... Fuck, it was amazing. Final good thing for me, yeah, the acting performances as well. Like, it wasn't just that. Michelle Yeoh, man!
Mm.
I love it when she's, like, a lead actress and not the random aunt in Shang-Chi. Yes, I know I'm a Marvel fan. Yes, I know I'm shitty on Shang-Chi. But, like, she's phenomenal in this.
Yeah.
The dad, the daughter, they're all, like, there's no slouches here. Like, Jamie Lee Curtis playing all the different personalities, amazing. But Jamie Lee Curtis, man, she's a well-storied actor. And I mean, so to me, it's Sarah Yeo, but like, you know, there's some of these supporting casts, you're like, I don't really know them. Like Jenny Slate, he has big nose, you know, like even she's fine.
Yeah. I mean, quite a, and I know this is sort of a, it's kind of a semi-independent film, eh?
Oh, yeah. So, distributed by A24, which is like indie darlings, you know, like they only put out sort of weird, obscure type films. You know, they're not making blockbusters, no.
Yeah. And I mean, going with a, you know, all the main characters being Chinese American, fantastic. I love the bouncing in and out of Cantonese and English. It was great.
Yeah. That was awesome as well. Felt authentic, I think the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
It like legitimately felt authentic. And the other thing I've got to mention is the action scenes. Holy shit. Like, it's very easy to not have them frenetic, you know, like it's kind of like when they get to the action scenes, whatever. But in this, it's just so insane because they can play with so many different universes. When the daughter comes in and starts like clubbing people to death with fucking dildos and stuff, and you're like, what the fuck?
Fucking amazing.
Fucking insane, but amazing.
Using a bum bag as a weapon.
Yeah, bum bag as a weapon. That was awesome too. Oh, it was so good. Recency bias as well. I feel like I can't give this too much of a hyperbole sandwich, but 10,001. Yeah. You know, if you're going to be as pedantic as 10,000, I'm going above that. 10,010. There we go. A little bit above. Oh, I think we're going to jack off over this movie quite a lot, but let's get into the next of our questions. First up, we have what trope in this film was long overdue being retired?
Yeah, and I think the writers deliberately put this in there when Jamie Lee Curtis's character was talking to them at the IRS building, and the whole talking slowly and repeatedly so that non-native English speakers can somehow understand you.
Yeah.
Which is just, you know, you see people do it all the time and it's just like, no. People, just because you're talking slowly and saying it over and over again, people still don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so my answer, I'm reversing this. I'm going to bring in a trope that should be continued, which is the hero's journey story, but the hero just starts off completely useless. Yeah. And it continues to be completely useless. And it's just like, I don't want this. This was awesome. You know, like to the point that they gave up on her and were like, nah, she's not here. Yeah. You know, and then it came out. I was like, this is so cool. Because like too many other movies, like I'm trying to think of one, like a Ready Player One or something like that, where you suddenly get this like person who has no technical knowledge, skills or whatever, gets turned into like, you know, basically next level, a Jedi, a Super Saiyan. Blowing up a Death Star, you know, taking a ring to Mordor, you know what I mean? Like, it's just suddenly like no training or skills or abilities is suddenly the man or the woman, or, you know, it's just, I loved it. I love that about this film. I love that it took her a while to get where she was going, and the way she got to that process as well was insane. Mm. Man, finger punch, man.
Yeah, yeah, pinky punch.
Pinky punch, oh, it was so much goodness. That being said, there is one trope in this film that I didn't really like, which is the inappropriate kissing, where, like, you know, we see them at the end going into the IRS office, and then she just turns and grabs her husband and just starts kissing him, and it's just, like, the weirdest location to start making out with someone.
Yeah.
You know, it's Superman kissing Lois Lane at the end of Man of Steel when, like, buildings around him are falling down and people are dying. It's just like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably...
Put your dick away.
Filling in the plot a little bit there, eh?
It was. So much goodness. Next question. What was the most insane leap of logic in this film?
And, you know, this is a tough question for a film like this. but I'm going to keep it nice and simple. And it's in the end, the IRS is kind of happy to let things slide.
That would never happen. Fuck.
Would never happen.
That was going to be my one. Yes, I know you punched me in the face, but hey, you're going for a divorce. I'll let you off.
Yeah.
I was like, government doesn't care, man. They leave their personalities at the door. They don't give a shit.
Yeah, she's butt plug ordered of the year 3 years in a row.
Exactly. She doesn't care. The only other one I had was that the granddad went through no real emotional change throughout the film, but then by the end he was like, yeah, I'm all sweet. You know?
Yeah.
I was like, okay. But hey, maybe he has. Maybe he's like, you know, softened in his older age or whatever. Okay, next question. What would be the porn parody name of this film?
Yeah, I feel like if we do the new Doctor Strange movie as well, there's going to be a bit of a similarities here. But I'm keeping it nice and simple, and it's Everybody Everywhere All at Once.
I went even just more obvious than that. I just went Everybody Jizzing Everywhere All at Once. into the Bukkakeverse. Let's move on. Question number five is a Patreon question. This one comes courtesy of our good friend Emily that was on last week. She also gave this film 5 stars. I've seen her letterboxed. While I'm talking about that, yes, there are some people out there that are wondering what the fuck is going on that might have seen my letterboxed and said, hey, Sam, you only gave this like 9,340-something out of 10,000 on your letterboxed, and you only gave it a 4 out of 5. You only gave it 4 out of 5 stars. And to those people, I say, fuck off, leave me alone. I've changed my mind. Eat shit.
It's hard being in the top echelon of podcasters, isn't it, Sam?
Top quality podcasting. Okay, anyway, Emily, awesome podcast. Tasteless takes your films, compares them, one that everybody knows and loves, and she compares that to a more obscure film and sort of argues why that obscure one's better. Anywho, what's your question, Kahu?
Thanks, Emily. And the question is, what movie would you pair with this as a double feature?
I actually watched this the other night, and I was actually surprised at how well I still enjoyed it so many years on. Another film featuring a guy getting beaten to death with a dildo, Lock, Stock, and 2 Smoking Barrels.
Right.
Purely for that reason. They make no sense. The only other ones I could think of was like The Matrix or Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which I think were also like, you know, good meditative philosophical approaches that blended in other genres, you know, into the sci-fi world. But yeah.
Yeah, I did have The Matrix just as a more to compare how they treat similar material.
Yeah.
Like this one is more more leans in towards the relationships and the emotional relationships between the main characters, as opposed to The Matrix, which is I think more focused on sort of more that whole save the world type narrative.
Yeah, Matrix is definitely way more action heavy.
Mm,
I feel like I should give your thunder back to you now that I've just stolen it right before you answered. Anyway, next Patreon question comes courtesy of our man Nick Haskins of Nikolai's Kitchen. He runs live stream for The Cure as well, an awesome event that we will be involved with once again this year. Anyway, his question, what type of meal is this film?
It's a multi-course teppanyaki with every food under the sun.
That's a very good point. I feel like this is a dining in the dark experience. Basically, he's sort of thing like, it's a Chinese food of a dining in the dark where you show up there, you've got no idea what the fuck you're going to get.
Yeah.
You've got no idea what's coming next. You don't actually know what's happening around you, who you're with, so you let your imagination fill in all the crazy that's, you know, happening around you. It's that.
Yeah, mystery meal.
Mystery meal. Not the usual one that you like getting from a restaurant at fucking 2 a.m. where you get a bit of mystery meat. It's something a little bit different from that. Next question is what, Kahu?
Question 7, what was the biggest dick move in the movie?
I've got a tie. The granddad straight up going to murder the daughter, just like, oh, well, whatever, bye. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was that one, but then I thought to myself, and it was also Michelle Yeoh like saying to her daughter, you're getting fat.
Oh, yeah, that's
just
right.
Drives off.
I forgot about that, yeah.
What the fuck? Hey, I'm really upset. You're getting fat.
Yeah.
Eat some healthy food.
Yeah. I had Evelyn introducing Becky to Gong Gong the friend.
Yeah.
But to be fair, she did redeem that later on. Was that later on or was it in a...
Much later on, yeah.
Yeah.
Or in was a that
similar,
the party
similar
later?
Similar universe or I don't know.
It was fucking hard to keep track of.
Yeah. Hard to keep track the number of universes.
All right, next question comes courtesy of our man Chris Yeeney. You're the fucking man, Chris. We love your work. And his question, what song would you insert into this film and where? And we try to be as on the nose as possible.
Yeah, so my answer is when Evelyn and the rest of the family are being interviewed at the IRS and Evelyn's just trying to stay in the current universe and keep herself centered. So going for a nice little simple song, I'm a Little Teapot.
Jesus.
Just to keep herself on the level.
Oh my god. Not for all the tea in China. Good on you, Kahu. The one I went for is The Verve's Bittersweet Symphony. And there's, I don't know why, but it's just the lyric from that song of I'm a million different people from one day to the next. And I was like, that's what the daughter is.
Yeah.
She's a million different people from one day to the next.
Yeah.
I can change. No, I'm stuck in here in my mold, you know? It just fits.
I wonder how she experiences time.
Time is a flat circle.
Yeah, well, literally in this a flat bagel.
Who knows? Next question comes courtesy of our man Dan Brennick of Netflix and Swill. He's also involved with live streams for The Cure because he's the fucking man. His question, what, Kahu?
Yeah, thanks. It's who was the true
husband
MVP of the movie? Oh, so we're saying can't be Evelyn or...
Can't be Evelyn. I'm going with the husband.
Okay. Yeah.
He's the man. He saves everything, right? He teaches her to love that there's more out there than, you know, just falling into a pit of despair. He's the heart. He makes you want to be a better person.
Be kind, Evelyn.
Be kind. He's the man. He's awesome. I mean, triumph and return like we discussed, but just the way he turns her around, you know, it was like, and he's got no idea what the fuck's going on. He even says he doesn't know what the fuck's going on. So he's awesome.
I was thinking of this question. It came up quite early in the movie because this character suited it. And it was the main security guard guy, the dude with the bald head. He takes so much punishment. He does. Like, I'm not sure how many different fights he's in, but he's in the first one with the bum bag, and then he's in another one. Oh, yeah, right after that when he does the flying leap onto the butt plug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Takes it like a champ, man. Takes it like a champ.
He just keeps coming back from a war and gets owned every single time. So
he's pretty fucking indestructible.
Yeah.
He's pretty... Him and the other guy, man, shoving things up their ass just to continue their fighting was just like, well, that's something.
Yeah. That's a thing.
That's not something I'm ever going to do this week, but it's something. Yeah.
Oh, from that height and distance too. Wow.
Yeah, that was a leap, man. Yeah. That was a fucking solid sumo jump leap. Next question, how long would you survive in this movie's world?
Yeah, this
Which
is,
one?
Oh, well, that's right. It's a difficult question to answer for this film. I mean, depending on the world, if there's literally infinite universes, then could you just not survive forever? I mean, obviously the rock world...
Well, you're perpetuating
world,
the fact that there's a universe where you don't age. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. Or because all the universes are running at sort of different timelines as well. Like, I don't know. I mean, obviously in the rock universe where... Well, yeah, that's it. If you're in the rock universe and you're a rock, then do you just live forever? Or
what about when the sun goes supernova and you get fucking, you know, obliterated?
Well, and then do you just become particles floating around the universe? But only
this
that universe.
This is a very deep philosophical. It's the same thing. When you die, your body and all your atoms and everything just get dispersed and go out into the universe and become something else, you know? Like, do we really die?
Yeah, that's right. And it's only one universe. What about all the others?
What fucking podcast are we talking about? This is a movie podcast and we're talking about this shit.
So, survive a long time, I think.
The funny part is I've written down forever because I can think of some fucked up shit. I think I would go full universe pretty quickly, you know? Like, she's just like, I just got to say I love you to that person. And I was like, man, the amount of weird shit that I can do that comes into my brain that's just like, man, I should do that.
Yeah.
Why? You know?
Yeah.
I've had meetings like that where I'm just like, I wonder what this person would do if I just leaned over and kissed them on the forehead, you know? Yeah.
Or it's funny, how your mind wanders like that. Or like, what would happen if I just punch this person across the table right now? I've had that one a few times, and then of course they ask.
He's thinking that right now.
Then they ask, what do you think about that? And I'm like, what? That's great.
Just snap back to reality.
Yeah.
No, we need a number, huh?
Yeah.
12?
Yeah. Sorry, I was in an alternate reality just then.
Question 11, was it Kahu?
What character clearly needed
husband
to get laid? Husband. Yeah. I could go with that.
Jumping on him. You feel so sorry for him.
Yeah.
He's the man, but at the same time, he's like, he's missing something. He's missing the affections of his wife, who's so preoccupied with running laundry unsuccessfully. And
yeah. I mean, I think there's quite a few characters in this, actually. I'm going with Deirdre, Jamie Lee Curtis's character.
Oh, yeah. She needs to get slammed, yeah.
Yeah, she's clearly got some anger against past relationships going on there, so.
Yeah, there is a lot of build-up that needs to be released. Rank. Question 12. Have fun with this. What deep philosophical debate arose in you while you were watching this film?
Yeah, so if I could verse jump, would I leave my current universe for good?
You'd be fucking gone. Admit it, man. Admit it. If you could verse jump, if you could find that universe where you just get to do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah, hot dog fingers universe. Give me that. No, maybe not that one. Probably not the rock one. Although the rock one, I think, would be quite relaxing.
Knowing you and I, like, we'd be like, we'd find the one where everything's perfect and we'd go there and be like, this is fucking, this unit, this is the one, this is our one. Next day, asteroid headed for Earth, we're all going to die. Yep, that's about right.
Yeah. Broken the space-time continuum.
Yeah. Just wallowed into an existence where you experience everything everywhere all at once.
Yeah.
Just all the pain that's ever been inflicted on you all at one time. Yay.
It would be a big bagel.
It would be a massive bagel. I had two. One was how much drugs did the creators take when they were writing this film, and can I have some?
Yes, that's a good one.
There was that, and the other one was like, should New Zealand make it legal for people to be able to murder someone that's talking throughout a movie while at the cinema, you know?
Because
We had this couple behind us that talked for the entirety of the film, what felt like the entirety of the film. I'd say conservatively at least 80%. 80% of the film, but the worst part is, listeners, is like, it was like kind of hushed, but not really. So it was loud enough to hear them, but like it was not loud enough to be discernible. So you're like sitting there just hearing, it was like having a fucking bumblebee in my ear for 80% of this film.
Oh, man, you were so dark when we came out of that film.
Off.
I was just wanting to talk about the film. And you're like, oh, these stupid people behind us.
Yeah.
I think there was a situation where my lack of peripheral hearing came in handy.
You're very lucky.
Like, what people?
Fuck those guys, man. Fuck them. I was so frustrated. I turned around and coughed at them. I turned around and glared at them. Gave them massive hints. Worst part is one of them had this like feet up on the back of my seat. So halfway through, I was like, why do I smell feet?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's not on at all.
Fuck, I should have murdered them. You wouldn't be hearing this, listeners. You'd be missing out on me having a fucking rant.
You should have just turned around in your chair, like fully turned around, put your feet up backwards and just stared at them until they shut up.
Should have. I should have fucking, like, I honestly, I don't know why I didn't say something.
Yeah.
There was part of me that wanted to just turn around and just go, look, if you guys want to talk to each other, go to a bar. Is this a bar? No, it's not. It's a fucking movie theater. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Oh, I should have. What am I doing? It was only because it was only me and you, and there was four of them. I think that was the only thing that was going through my head of like, Kahu's going to run away if I start a fight.
Oh, we could have taken them.
Oh, yeah, we absolutely could have taken them. We
could have sprayed our COVID all over them.
Yes. There we go. I did notice that when I coughed in their direction, they got a bit like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, man, you should have, real loudly just gone, oh, man, we really shouldn't have come here with this COVID.
Yeah. How accurate do you reckon those rats tests are, bro?
Yeah.
Anywho, let's digress from the fact I almost murdered someone and go on to question number 13. What is it, Kahu?
Yeah, what job would this movie be suitable for?
I'm going to go with like a stock trader. Someone that has to keep their mind on a million different things at a million different times. You know, like has to be spread out across the universe. What's going up and down? What are they doing on behalf of their clients? What are their big stuff that the client wants to buy? Small stuff? All that sort of shit.
Yeah.
You know, just have that all-round superior knowledge. That one.
Yeah. I'm going for a muse for an artist. So many ideas in this film.
There are so many.
An artist would have material for years.
I was originally going to go with something similar, like an interior decorator, and then I was like, could you imagine what your house would look like if you came home to this?
Nope.
I would love it. Stacey would hate it. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way, listeners. Let's put it that way. Yeah.
Be like letting Fern loose decorating your house.
Yeah. Arming it full of crayons and fucking pens.
Yeah.
Going, here you go. Do whatever the fuck you want. Have some paint. Don't worry about your mother. Oh, she's going to start crying when you get home. It's perfectly fine. Anywho, Kahu, your questions.
Yes, to my questions, and my first one is, what absolutely boring setting, i.e. like an IRS building, could you use to make an exciting film?
Imagine like a council building, right? So imagine somebody's got pissed off with the council. Almost, you know, Parks and Rec, you know what I mean? Like a Leslie Knope, somebody's got pissed off with them, gone full John Wick, We've been in council buildings before, sure, once or twice. You know, we know how boring they are and mundane. I'm sure they're great environments for some fucking weird shit.
Yeah, soulless, life-sucking, open-plan office environments.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep, no, I'd agree with that. My second question is, what would be your go-to material to verse jump?
So what's the most weirdest thing that I can think of? So, I don't want to put this on the internet, to be honest.
Not butt plugs, not chapstick. What do you got?
I really don't want to stick this on the internet. I don't.
Well, it's the floor is yours.
Maybe eating a vegetable.
Okay.
It's pretty weird for me. Going for a run. Doing exercise of any shape or description. Driving past a KFC and not going in.
I feel like... KFC would be your material on hand, though, so maybe it should be KFC.
So a chicken bone in the ear hole or something?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Just that, but this is, again, it's stuff that's like kind of normal for me. So if I took a drumstick and just started basting my face in the smell so that it's like all in my mustache and I could smell it for the rest of the day, that's just normal behavior for me.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to come up with something weird.
Yeah, it was very loose, eh, that whole, like, how that whole sort of medium works.
Yeah, very much so. I reckon if I went for an hour without swearing, that would probably be pretty weird for me.
Oh, yeah.
What would be your weird behavior then? Aside from trying to punch some random dude in a meeting.
I don't know. Maybe like, yeah, you're right. It would have to be something kind of out of it. Like maybe sticking your head in a toilet bowl. But then I've just realized our toilets don't really have enough water in them. You wouldn't be able to get your toilet.
You just dip before you.
Yeah.
Then flush yourself. Surely punching yourself in the dick has got to be up there.
Yeah. Running into a wall, I don't know.
Yeah. I feel like it's got to be something so bizarre that no one's ever done it before. You know, like something so just like out there.
What about, like slamming your testicles in a door?
Now we're talking!
Does that... Yeah, you'd hope you didn't start building muscle memory to that, eh?
You know how people often say, you know, I shat a brick? Yeah. The opposite. Think about that in reverse. I inhaled a brick.
Yeah.
I think we need to stop now. And let's move on to whatever else you've got.
Yeah, so we'll move on to my third question, which is, which universe would you be most likely to or least likely to be in?
Probably the movie star universe, right? That would probably be a bit of me. Universal acclaim and all that sort of shit. I don't know if I could handle the disciplinarian side of it, because she's like become a martial arts master purely from listening to that martial arts master, guru or whatever, and, you know, just that's her life.
Yeah.
You know, no distractions and nothing. She goes to these movie premieres and that's about it.
Yeah, that was it was kind of sad how they had both become movie stars and then... But then he just wasn't interested.
Yeah.
And to be honest, if there was one sort of theme that could have come out of this film, it was maybe that one. Like, I didn't really care for it too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is your one going to be the Rock universe so you could just sit around being stoned all day?
Yeah, I would love that. Like, I mean, because they're in light, they've got a nice view and everything. I mean...
Part of nature.
Yeah,
it's pretty cool.
They did end up having googly eyes, so maybe they could look at the view.
The googly eyes were so fucking awesome, eh? Yeah. I love the googly eyes.
It was just such a, like, a, you know, that type of thing where, you know, people have their little quirks in relationships, and so you could totally see somebody, like, just being real into that stuff, and the other partner just being so, like, pissed off about it all the time.
Like, oh, this shit again.
Yeah. No googly eyes.
No googly eyes.
What are your questions there, Sam?
Oh, yeah. Anyway, that moves me over to me. I mean, first question, we've talked about this a little bit, but at what point during the writing process do you think that they came up with the idea of shoving things up their ass?
So I think they had a brainstorm session, but kind of in reverse. So normally when you do a brainstorm and you just throw all the ideas out there and then the out of it ones, you just go, no, we're not doing that. And you go with the ones that make sense. I reckon they just reversed that and just went, what are the most absolutely insane things you can come up with? And that's what we're taking. That's what's going to be in the film. I reckon that's what they did.
I feel like at some point they said, what about if somebody had dicks for fingers? And then they've gone, okay, we need to tune that back a little bit because you probably can't get dick fingers into a film, you know, so hot dog fingers, close enough.
Yeah. You know? We'll have dildos somewhere else.
Dildo somewhere else.
But like Raccoon Chief, you know, that was.
Oh, I mean, it was so good.
It was such
so good.
I like the pop culture reference back to Ratatouille, but
yeah, Raccoonie or whatever it's just called.
Ratatouille or whatever they called it. But it was just like, it was. I mean, it added to the film, but in a way, it sort of didn't need to be there, and that's what made it so great.
Yeah,
yeah,
and especially when she jumps on his shoulders and then starts doing the same thing. And then using him to fight and stuff like that. Oh, I was like, this is so good.
Yeah.
This is so hilarious. I mean, yes, some of these jokes in this do get a little bit repetitive and some of the ideas get a bit repetitive, but it's just so, like, thought out. And, you know, like, it doesn't feel like padded, you know, little bit, but not really. Like, there's just, it walks such a fine line.
Yeah, it didn't feel padded, although when there was kind of that false ending, which
was
just the end of the movie and, I mean, I don't know about you, but I kind of realized it was too soon for the movie to end. But
yeah, same, yeah.
While it was a bit odd and thought that was a bit of a lull, it was also like good as a bit of a reset to kind of go, oh, well, I wonder where they're going to take this from here.
Mm.
And yeah, that was, again, a bit of an unusual, unexpected plot device that worked really well.
Mm. I think you're right. I feel like these guys just came up with like the most bizarre ideas, like, you know, like, what if we came up with a multiverse movie where these people can travel between different universes and get different powers? And, like, that's amazing. What if they do it by shoving things up their ass? What?
yeah.
let's come up with the most weirdest shit possible. That's how I feel it went. And I feel like it's, like, it just lends itself to it. You know, there was no, like, once you say you just most bizarre things ever, you can just literally do the most bizarre things ever.
Yeah, I feel like the directors, the Daniels, like, they're probably those types of people where, you know, individually they come up with good ideas, but not kind of magic ones. But you put them both in a room and everything just escalates.
It's kind of like when you put me and Machu in a room together and things escalate.
Yeah.
Enough of that. Let's move over to the next question, which is, at one point there, Evelyn potentially has to sacrifice her daughter in order to save the multiverse. Could you sacrifice the daughter if you knew they were, like, basically... I don't. Satan's not the right word. It was like the destroyer of everything, the anti-god.
Yeah. Well, I have two daughters, so it's maybe not quite so much of a choice for me. No,
I still got another one.
Yeah.
Still got a spear.
No, I don't. I don't think so, because, you know, it still matters in this world, even though it's the multiverse, and
even though there's a billion other ones of her out there, and they're all evil.
Yeah, I don't know. It's. I think you'd be like...
Think about, this is the entire multiverse. This isn't just our universe. You're willing to sacrifice everything.
I think as a...
Trillions and squillions of lives gone because you can't kill a daughter. I couldn't, but...
I think as a parent, you know, you'd always have that belief that they can be turned around, so...
Yeah. My mum's still got that. Machu's mum's probably still got that.
I don't think you'd be able to... To get to that point where you're like, this person has no return.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I agree. I feel like that was the whole point of the movie, really, wasn't it? Mm. It was just like, you know, not everything that we think we've done is set in stone. And that's what I liked the most about this, was the fact that it was supposed to have been, you know, like, she was living the worst version of her life.
Yeah.
And yet and she still had a chance to do something insane and amazing and, you know, well, and all that sort of shit. Although, that being said, I've got to say, if the worst version of my life was like a failing laundromat in America with a husband that's that much of a like good dude, you know what I mean? Like, if that's the worst version of my life, I'd probably be pretty fucking happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we go to another universe where you are, I don't know, like the worst thing you can possibly imagine. A despotic ruler that just likes murdering people or something. There's a lot worse versions of me that I can imagine that I would not want to be living their lives.
Yeah. Or as a side note, how's this for a deep philosophical debate? Out of all the multiverses, Sam, what if this one is the best version of yourself?
I think it might be. I'm living my best life.
Yeah.
I'm the host of a mildly successful podcast. I've written a book that people can go and buy. If you want to go buy my book.
Yeah, the cup's half full.
Exactly. I've got a wonderful ginger princess for a wife and a daughter that I love and adore. And if she turned evil and said, "That's it, Dad, I'm sacrificing all the multiverses," I'd be like, "Fuck yeah, let's do it," you know?
Yeah.
Fuck this shit, Fern, let's go.
Yeah, can't beat him, join him.
Exactly, exactly. Final question from me. What would be the biggest benefit of having hot dog fingers?
Yeah, and shout out to 2001 A Space Odyssey here too. That was
awesome.
A great throwback with the apes. My question about this was, do these grow back? It sort of suggests that they do.
Here we go, feed the homeless.
Because in the soldier and dancer musical type thing that came up every now and then, eating each other's fingers, like, it sort of made it assume that they grow back. So if that's the case, then it's potentially a meal right at your fingertips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
That would be the biggest bonus.
Yeah.
Nobody would ever go hungry.
I'm sad that we don't have much here on this to come up with some sort of sex-related thing, you know, where he starts going on about how useful are floppy sausages for sex.
No.
You can imagine it. You can imagine it. Yeah. So I'm filling in here, listeners, for him. I personally was like, wow, you'd get really good at using your feet. But then I'm like, well, you don't actually have anything to compare it to. Yeah. You know, those people in that universe that are like using their feet to play the piano, to us it's like, wow, that's phenomenal. In their universe, it's standard.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's like, well, we can't use these floppy fucking fingers.
Yeah.
What the fuck else are we going to use?
Yeah.
Would they even invent the piano if you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, why would you? Or maybe you'd still invent it, but why would it be at like hand level, you know? It'd be on the ground.
It would be on the ground. Yeah. You'd be foot, like, yeah, like a kick drum, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. It wouldn't make any sense to build it at that level.
You'd get the piano like in big. You know, the one that him and Robert Loggia just run up and down, like, dancing on. Like, that's what a piano would be. It would be, like, thing on the ground that you just tap with your feet, not individually towing a
piano.
Yeah,
that was the most out of it universe, I think, the hot dog fingers.
I'll tell you what, there are people out there that probably love the idea of Jamie Lee Curtis's feet, and this film would have just done it for them.
Yeah.
Gross. Anywho, moves us down to the last question, also a Patreon question, comes courtesy of our mate Nerdrovert. Okay, Jason, we love your work. Love this question. Especially hard this week, bud. Especially fucking hard. And I might have cheated. I'm going to give my answer now. Never. But his question was, when was the best time for a bathroom break?
Difficult one for this movie. I mean, you'd have to go right at the start, I think, just before they're going into the IRS building. I can't think of a lot of other spaces, because it chops and changes between universes so much, you don't get those really long scenes in one place. I don't know.
I was going to say one of the fight scenes, but all the fight scenes have such hilarity and like nuance built into them, you know, like going to different universes, learning new skills, you know, like the first one where he like kicks ass, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, like we're like, wow, it establishes that this is a martial arts movie as well. And the next one after that, where like Jamie Lee Curtis becomes a wrestler, staple something to her forehead, all that sort of stuff. You're like, what the f-? And then after that, you know, like she's learning all the skills, the finger punch, all that sort of shit. It's like, I'm just struggling, because like usually big action scenes, you can go, oh, whatever, take it or leave it. You know, it's they're going to survive type thing. But I'm struggling.
Yeah, they're all very, very different in their own right, the fight scenes.
Maybe the one scene I mentioned that I didn't think was needed, which is when she kissed him. But even then, that was sort of showing that she's like, you know, she's kind of fully gotten over her own problems of not living and just completely wrapped up in that world of being a laundromat owner. And she actually appreciates him for what he's doing. And there's nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Yeah. No, very, very well-paced movie.
The scene where the daughter's girlfriend talks to the granddad.
Yeah.
Maybe that.
Even those moments were so short, you know, unless you're peeing in a bottle, you're not going to get to the bathroom in time and back.
Just full high pressure hosing and then running back. I'm back. So never. Anyway, that takes us to the end. I feel like we've done this movie pretty good justice, but is there anything else you feel like we're missing?
Yeah. I mean, there's so much in this film that, I mean, and as you said, I reckon we could do another 20 questions on it probably.
I had about 50 questions for this film.
Yeah, or keep talking about this film for another hour. It's just so good, wildly original, and the acting is just fantastic too. It's just, you know, we get a lot of these Hollywood films, continuous Marvel films, Sam.
Hey!
or film based on books or existing IP that... It's just good to have something a bit refreshing. And I loved it.
We need this. The other one I was going to suggest to watch with this as a double header was Palm Springs. Like, yeah. That was the kind of same energy of yeah. like, and same sort of like sci-fi, and it's out there and it's random and all that sort of shit. But this is like that to a fucking 11, you know?
It's, yeah. Where it's technically a sci-fi movie, but the sci-fi isn't what makes it great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just the intimate moments is what makes this great.
Mm.
There's just so much there that's like, it sort of ponders the big questions, but never really offers an answer. And then the answer it gets, you can sort of lean either way. You can be, you know, if you're having a bad day, you can be like, yeah, fuck the world, nothing matters. But for like large parts of it, it's mundane, it's boring, it's repetitive, it's, you know. And then other times it's really shit, and that really shit is like, becomes the most obvious thing in your life. It's like how if you go on holiday and it's really good, you tell 3 people. If it's bad, you tell 10.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
it's sort of like that. And they just overcloud it. And then just the optimism of the husband, you know, just to bring it all around and be like, yeah, there are very few moments in your life that are like, you know, absolutely define everything that your life's going to turn into, as well as be the best moments of your life. And you just need to like cherish them. Oh, just, yeah, this film's so good.
Mm.
People go and see it. Please go and see it. If you've listened to this podcast without seeing it, you're probably wondering what the fuck we're talking about. And maybe we've made you curious to go see it. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like we just can't do it justice in this podcast. There's just so much in there. And yeah, if you enjoyed this podcast, you'll definitely enjoy this movie tenfold.
Yeah. That's a good point. Just as a final question, this was gonna be one of my ones, but what do you reckon Oscar-wise? Like, I've stopped caring about the Oscars 10 fucking years ago or whenever it was, when the Oscars sort of became a bit of a circle jerk of stupidity. But do you reckon, like, if you could give this one Oscar award that you think is definitely going to win?
I would think the screenwriting one.
Okay.
Just be right up there.
Original screenplay? Yeah,
original screenplay.
I was thinking editing.
Yeah.
I think it's very well edited.
Yeah, I mean, the big ones, like, it's not that typical type of film to win, like a Best Picture or one of the acting ones. Or,
well, the only thing I could think of was
director
was almost like Hollywood going, okay, Ke Kwan, well done, welcome back to Hollywood, Best Supporting Actor, here you go.
Yeah, I could see that maybe.
Yeah. Just because it would be like quite a good feel-good story, and, you know, he does an amazing job. Like, don't get me wrong. He can, you know, for somebody that should have been really rusty, he did a pretty awesome job.
Yeah. Hopefully, even if it's just nominations, you know, just to...
It's nice to be nominated.
To give a shout-out to originality.
Exactly. Cool. Anywho, that takes us down to the end. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you want to get a hold of us, you can find us on Twitter at Movie Reviews In, or you can find us on Facebook and Instagram at Movie Reviews In 20Qs. Alternatively, send us an email at mritqs@gmail.com. And, tell us if we're right or wrong. Tell us what you thought of the movie. Tell us all that sort of good stuff. Upcoming episode, Terminator 2. Keep talking about it. Who fucking knows? Much you keep speaking.
Well, I think it was my fault, the last one.
Okay. Yeah, well, I didn't want to say anything, but since you're here.
But we'll blame it on Much.
You'd be threatening you to punch people in the faces, so I'm a little bit fucking nervous to say anything around you at the moment. But, that's supposedly going to be next week's episode, but we'll see. Anyway, that's thanks from me.
Thanks, everybody. Catch you next time.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nick. I'm the host of Nikolai's Kitchen, and I'm also the host of the annual Live Stream for the Cure. Live Stream for the Cure is a charity event where we raise money with content creators and podcast partners from around the world for the Cancer Research Institute, a wonderful nonprofit researching cancer immunotherapy, training the body's immune system to fight all forms of cancer. This is a mission and a future that I truly believe in. And myself and my team worked tirelessly over the past 5 years to raise over $50,000 for this cause. This year, we're aiming for our biggest single goal to date of $20,000, and we cannot do it without your help. Please join us for the event May 19th through the 21st, starting at 9 a.m. Eastern, for 45 hours of content from people all over the world. Together, we can bring hope for a future immune to cancer. The more eyes we reach, the more dollars we raise. Please help us in making this goal a reality. Together, we can make a difference.